There you are. There you are.
And you're a green, the green box. Okay.
That worked. All right. We got it. But slowly but surely, we are going to nail this.
By around podcast 5, I predict, we're going to have it down.
That's ambitious, but okay. You are J.D. Danner.
I am.
I am Denise Warner, and you guys watching all this are in the Whiskey Rock Lounge. Kind of, you know? I don't know.
I'm actually in a different place in the lounge in my house because they're working on our building and they're making a lot of noise outside. So I moved to the bedroom.
Ooh. I recognized that chair from the tour.
Yeah,
that's a cool chair.
My co-host today, I don't know what her name is. I need a name for her.
She needs a name. I'm going to go, they're not spectacular boobs, but I like Dolly. I like Dolly for her.
Oh, okay. I got her on sale because it's funny you should mention the boob. There's a dent right here. She's on sale. It shows every time, so that's good.
That's great. You know why I have Dolly on the brain? Because Dolly Parton is on Graham Norton tonight. So I'm actually looking forward to that. Like I'm into her, man. Ever since she played Glastonbury, I'm into her.
She's done so many things. It's amazing one person can do so many things successfully.
And the fact that like she just, I don't want to use the word reinvent because she doesn't really reinvent herself. She just has so many different avenues, you know? I mean, in the midst of all this, she was reading bedtime stories on videos for kids.
Yeah. She figures a way. That's true. And she's not reinventing. You're right. She just keeps doing something else and doing well.
And she stays so current, you know what I mean? Like, with whatever's going on, she's not stuck in the time. She's just moving forward with the rest of us. And I absolutely love that. I'm just watching my baby kitty. No. No. She's sniffing my whiskey. She's sniffing my whiskey. Apparently she likes the writer's tears. That's what I'm drinking today.
A little writer's tears. Is that smooth? Is that an English? Is that a British?
It's an Irish whiskey. Yeah, it's 40%. I don't know what that means, but I'm going to say it confidently. It's 40%. And it says here, this is great. It says a unique vatting of single pot still and single malt Irish whiskey, triple distilled for extra smoothness.
Nice. So,
It is. It is very smooth. And I got this when I was writing my books because I didn't have an ending and I was getting frustrated and I thought that's appropriate. You know, like you want to drink, just drink your woes away while you're typing. So I thought writer's tears was perfectly appropriate.
How apropos for that.
Right.
Well, I actually also apropos, Screwball, and almost empty. There's just a little bit left. Oh. I need a bottle. Screwball, this is peanut butter whiskey. And I got this last year. I got turned on to this. I went into the liquor store for something totally different. I think it was Honey Jack. And the guy that owned the store was like pushing this. So I didn't think it was going to be good because I'm like, well, he's pushing that. He wants to get rid of it. But we tried it. And, you know, me being like, this was before the virus, me being the germaphobe, the guy was like totally sweaty. He was like 500 pounds. And I'm like, I don't know. I didn't want to get near him because his whole shirt was wet and it wasn't raining. And just to get rid of him, I bought a bottle because I didn't want him to keep telling me about it because he smelled along with being totally, you know, just as if he were in a
what a thing.
Perspiration. So I said, sure, I'll try a bottle. And I'm thinking, if you get away from me, I'll buy two. But he was right. The 500-pound man was right. This was great. And wasn't I like feeling shameful going back in there and getting bottle after bottle, you know, in the next couple of weeks. But, you know, I didn't say anything, of course, about.
Tell me about it, though. Does it taste like peanut butter? Is it sweet? Is it nutty? Is it?
It's great. It's nutty. It tastes just like peanut butter, the bottle, and it is 70 proof. I don't know what your bottles, what the 40% means in England, but it does say 40% here, but that's, it means something else. I don't waste my time with anything less than 70 proof.
Yes, why bother, right?
So I just don't waste my time. So anyway, this is what it looks like in the glass.
Oh, nice.
And so if you mix this with cranberry juice, it's a little like peanut butter and jelly.
I was just going to say, it's your lunchtime, so this is perfect. You have PB&J sandwich with peanut butter whiskey.
And it's dangerously, dangerously smooth. So anyway, cheers to our second podcast.
Here we go. Show number two.
Yeah.
Yay. I still don't have ice because it's still cold.
So we had over 300 downloads on the first podcast. And that was as of yesterday. Every day it's been climbing.
It's so weird. Like it's great. Don't get me wrong. But I just thought it would take a lot longer to even build up to like 100, you know?
I know. I told my niece the first day, I'm like, we're at 130 and and the day's not over. And she said, by the end of the day you'll be to 200. And she was right. I mean, we were right at 203 at the end of that first day. So that was really good. I felt really good about that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm happy. I think, like I said before, like we have such a mishmash of characters that kind of that follow us, you know, and I just think it's a nice blend of the two groups. And I think a lot of people know you from being on my podcast for years and years and years. And I think that's such a plus because we always got such a good response when you were on. And I don't know if it was because you promoted it and then your listeners would listen. But either way, I think, yeah, I'm super happy with those numbers. I am profoundly surprised.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah.
This one is, I'm a little dark. Am I looking okay there? Because I don't have great lighting in this room.
You are a little dark. It seems like you're getting darker. Are you having a storm? Is there a storm going on?
Hang on a second. I think because I was relying.
Hi, that's perfect. There you go. That's excellent because like this is the first time I'm doing a show with you that it's light out. Mm-hmm. It's usually like super dark and I'm trying to create light in this little house. And today I don't even have to really, I mean, I do have lights on, but it's still light outside. So that's new. That's new to me.
Yeah. And it was too bright the last time when we did it. Cause I played hooky today, so I'm not at work. So that's what we could do this early.
Yeah. That's a good thing. Every once in a while, just a little bit of hooky. That's excellent. But you know, you, I get it. You have a good reason to, because you got big things going on this weekend with your band. Like, I don't really get to say that often because I'm so used to you playing on your own, you know, that when I do see you, you know, the nights that we've gone out and caught a set, you know, like it's great. It's great to see you playing with the band, but I'm so used to just seeing you with your guitar, just like, you know, at Pride Fest, at, you know, different things. So this is huge for you because you're playing with your band who you just recently told me about this band. This is a new set of fellows, right?
Yeah. Well, Freddie and Paul, and actually Freddie, Paul, and Steve, I've played with before in different settings. Steve is the drummer. Paul is a guitar player. Freddie's the keyboard player. The bass player, Neil, is new. We met at the first rehearsal, which is not really unusual anymore to me. But great group of guys. This time around, we're playing. By the time this airs, we will have played at Arts Garage. And they only allowed us 5 people in the band this time on stage because of social distancing. So last time I had some more girls on the show and we did it like a women's tribute to rock. Oh. So now this time, you know, I kind of have the freedom to do whatever I want to do. So over the period of, you know, being quarantined, I've been listening to different types of music and we're covering everybody from, we're doing, Atlanta Rhythm Section. all the way through Aretha and some Melissa originals and even some Grateful Dead, because, you know, I liked so much of that music that we played, and it, you know, sometimes it comes off better with a band. So anyway, we're doing that, and I'm going to be debuting my new song, which is called Nothing But Faith, which I wrote during the quarantine. So
it just is that one of those things, like I you know, all these years, and I've never really asked you, what type of songwriter are you? Do you get into a mindset and say, all right, I'm going to write a song, and then just wait for stuff to come to you? Or is it stuff comes to you and you're like, I got to write this song?
A little of both. You know, I mean, rarely do I sit down with the pressure of I'm writing a song today and what am I going to write about? You know, so usually I'll get the idea for a hook or a title in my head. Nothing But Faith was something that I wrote just taking a walk down. You know, I live on A1A, and people are always walking by no matter what time of day. It's always so busy. And it was really quiet because there were no tourists here. There were buildings that were quarantined. The building across, no visitors. There was a sign that said only residents for the longest time. So it was so quiet. And the first couple of lines of the song talk about that. So once I got into that whole thing, I mean, that's where that song, it depends on what my inspiration is. But, you know, sometimes you have to have felt something to really write about it. And
yeah, oh, definitely.
But what's happened to me is a lot of my songs were kind of prophetic because I wrote it and then it happened to me. Not great songs. So I have to start writing like good stuff I don't know. It's like, it's crazy that has happened to me more than one time that I've written something, not really have experienced it. And then years later, I'll get it really, because I will have, I'll experience it. So
that's really cool. I mean, it's interesting, you know, like because when I was writing my book, I was working with an editor. There were a lot of things that she wanted to change, and I'm sure that they were for the good. Because she was British, it was a different way. So there were a lot of things that I opted not to change, and I just kept telling myself, write what you know. That was the thing, like, write what you know.
Right.
You know, it's very difficult, you know, to step outside and write about something unless you're going to put tons of research into it. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly. Yeah.
It's just not going to bode true. So I managed to get through that. And then I really challenged myself to try and do it the other way. Like, write something I knew nothing about, and just make it up as I went along. And I was like, well, that's not so bad. So yeah, sometimes I think you have to learn, experience, learn, and then go for it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the songs I wrote for after having toured my first military tour, those came totally from having experienced meeting. I mean, those lyrics came right from meeting the army wives and meeting the, you know, military kids and the people themselves. When I did Fort Knox, I met a whole bunch of men and women coming out of basic training, because that's where they were doing basic training. Yeah. And you hear stories. I mean, that's where those lyrics came from, and they were not my experience, but in particular, songs of heartbreak. You know, even the covers I sang, I never got until it actually happened to me. And, you know, I just like kind of breezed through them and wrote these unrequited love songs. And then, you know, about the elusive person or whatever, or the love you had and you lost. And now I'm like, I have to start writing something really great that's going to happen, because it's been, you know, eventually it will happen to me down the road. Probably. I don't know. Sounds like a Twilight Zone or something.
That's pretty good. Is there a song about a lottery? Just Did you write a song about the lottery?
I feel lucky. Mary Chapin already. Mary Chapin Carpenter did that one already. But anyway, yeah, so this, I'm excited because when we went, when we were going into, to wrap up about my band, when we were going into rehearsals, we had, you know, I sent them a link of every cover and even my original song on what version I wanted them to learn. And so Nothing But Faith was a totally clean slate because I never recorded it. So I'm like, here's me playing it on the guitar. Let's see what we come up with. So I'm really excited to play that on Saturday night.
Do you get nervy? Do you have nerves like doing a new song, like a little bit of nerves? Or, hey, it is what it is and we got to keep playing it in order to, you know, to perfect it?
Well, yeah, there's an element of no one's ever heard it before, so we can't really do it wrong in anyone's eyes. But, you know, there's a structure we came up with loosely. Like if I were producing this, of course, we put more time into it, but we only had, like, I threw it on them the first rehearsal and we rehearsed like for about 6 weeks now together as a new band. So we had so much material to cover that, you know, I left that one for last once we knew we were good with the other stuff. And I'm like, you know, this is something you guys have an open thing. And so it was kind of nice because they got a chance to produce a little bit too, the arrangement.
Yeah, that's, it makes it exciting, doesn't it? Like just, it's just exciting to do something new.
I mean, I'm hearing things when I take this in the studio that I physically can't play on the guitar because I don't play lead, but I'm hearing things that, you know, it needs another guitar to do. So I'm excited to get it out there live and then hear a, you know, recorded, produced version.
Fun. Now, these are the things that make me wish I was there right now because that would be a fun thing to do. Like I can kind of count on my hand how many times I've been out of my house since February. So that would be a good thing to do. That's excellent. And talk a little bit, because this is not your first gig at Arts, right?
No, this is my third time playing there. And I'm really happy that the tickets are almost sold out in-house this time. The first time as well, I'm always nervous when I'm playing a show that depends on ticket sales because, you know, you just never know. People are busy. There are other things happening. We're not a tribute band. When you're a tribute band, you can really rely on the fans of that band coming out to see you. But when it's the J.D. Danner band, you have to kind of get your own fans to come to see you. And I don't have that much family down here. So even though I have a big Italian family, I don't have that many people down here to fill the Arts Garage. So so we were pleasantly, you know, we almost sold out. I mean, for sake of whatever, we did sell out the first time. The second time there was no audience because I played for the quarantine shows and it was just me and the sound people. And then this time they have a 33% capacity that they can sell tickets for. And as of today, I think they only have 2 tables left. So I was happy to see that.
That's great. Especially at a time like this, like it's absolutely fantastic to get people to go out of their house for anything, you know,
without buying a ticket and giving it to people because they don't want to go out. So it had to be people that wanted to go out and, we'll see. Like I said, by the time this airs, it will happen. It will already happen. So the next podcast, you know, I can tell you about the evening.
Oh, yeah. Excellent. Excellent. We were talking a little bit the other night and it dawned on me. I think I specifically asked you about it too. But it dawned on me, like you've played at the Bluebird Cafe before a lot of people who aren't in the music industry knew what that meant. And then the TV series Nashville came out and then everybody, you know, finally understood what the Bluebird Cafe is all about. And here you were playing it like 5 years before.
Oh yeah. Probably even more than that. And just people in the industry, people in Nashville knew what a big deal that was. And so when I got that gig, I was like, I couldn't even believe I was on the list because I had a girl that was my manager, a very young girl. And I, you know, I'm thinking, God bless her. She's going to think she's going to get me into these places and, you know, go for it. Right. And then she sends me a couple of local places that she got me gigs at, and then tells me, since you're going to be in Nashville recording, because I was working on my next CD, I got you in the Bluebird Cafe. She had no idea what a big deal that was. I'm like, what? Like, the Bluebird Cafe? And I'm like, do you know what that is? Like, because back then you had to audition. I think they did it like every other Tuesday or one Tuesday a month. The line was wrapped around the building and you got 30 seconds to audition to play in their like newcomer showcase spotlight on a Sunday. And so I never had time to do that because I was always working when I was in Nashville. So I just never tried. And I said, how did you get me in? And she said, I just emailed them, because she didn't even know, like being so young and naive. And sometimes that's better, you know, than being jaded and expecting the rejection. So I went there early. I was with Kelly again on that trip. And I said, Kel, we have to go the night before. I have to make sure I'm on this list. Because I went to Nashville not even still believing I was on the list at the Bluebird. I'm like, there must be some other cafe called the Bluebird that's not that one. But it was amazing. It was a great experience.
Oh, because I don't really know how many people know, but it is a prestigious kind of thing to be invited to play, because it is a launch pad for a lot of people, and it's also really specific to songwriters, isn't it?
It is, and their walls are just wallpapered with 8x10s of every famous person that played there in their early years. And it's everyone from Donna Summers, Melissa Etheridge, you know, not just the country artists. Of course, there's Garth Brooks and those people. But I mean, it was people that you wouldn't expect to have been, you know, having played there. Because I was surprised when I saw Donna Summers' picture on the wall and Melissa Etheridge. I thought it was just country music. And when I went, I noticed no one looked like me and sounded like they came from Long Island. So I was all nervous to get up the next day. Everybody was, the women, they were blonde and little and country, you know? So I just, you know, Kelly was like, just go be yourself, Jay. You know, she's got that way about her, brutal. You know, you can't change it now. So funny, you know, I got the inspiration to write Redneck Limousine from that, that actual experience. But there were two tables of people from Boca. I mean, what were the chances that would happen in the cafe? So I felt right at home that first time. And I didn't know you got scored on every single performance when you play there. So
because there's plants, right?
There's people in the audience and there's no panel of people. So I didn't know. So that night after the show was over, I said, you know, thanks for having me. And the girl said, well, you should really come back because you got a really great score. And I'm like, score? What do you mean score? And she said, oh, everyone that plays here every time to get asked back, they score you. And they're just people in the audience and you don't know who they are. So I'm so happy I didn't know that the first time, because I would have been I was nervous as it was. But so I've played there 5 times so far. I'm proud to say, because every time I play, you hope you get asked back again, especially when Nashville came out. The line for the people to come to see the show was wrapped around the entire shopping center, not just the building. So,
everybody kind of like, it, you know, wanted to see, because I asked you that, right? Did it look like what you saw in Nashville? And you said, I don't really watch Nashville. I was like, what?
I don't watch it, but I watch it the first couple of times to see, is that a set or is that the actual Bluebird? And I think they used a mixture of both. So yeah, that was a great experience. And I, you know, I just called them last year, and it's nice to know I'm still in their database, and I can go back and do a Writers in the Round, which is, I've never done there before. So when this whole COVID thing lifts, I will go back there and do a Writer in the Round, meaning that me and 4 other writers will do a show together.
That would be incredible. That would be so good. Like, I would kill to see something like that. I just said there's a few places lately that I would never put on my I need to go there bucket list.
Yeah.
But Nashville is one now, and not just because of the music scene and all that, but the food trucks. I mean, look at the food trucks. But the other place, because during this pandemic thing, I have become a huge HGTV fanatic. So I'm, whereas you guys are probably sick of Fixer Upper and Chip and Joanna Gaines, I am just now coming into it. So I want to go and see their empire. Like, I want to go to the Silos. I want to go to Magnolia Press and get coffee. I want to go to the bakery. I want to stay at the B&B. I want to be best friends with them. I don't know another way to say it. I want to be best friends with them. And the kid, I'll babysit. I don't care. I'll babysit because I love the kids too. And I love Farmhouse Chic, and I love Rustic, and I love Coastal, and they can do all of that. And I wish that they would just come over here and do my house. But yeah, so Waco, Texas is now on my list.
On your list. Who would know? Who would guess that? Although I like your background. I've had several comments on how much people loved your background. So your particular background. So yeah, I mean, maybe you don't really need them, Denise. Maybe they need you to go there and help them. You could bring the British, you know, flavor to their Waco design.
That's fucking brilliant. That is fucking brilliant. Oak, because that's all anything is here. Oak. I have oak floors. I have oak countertops. Everything is oak. So, yeah, I would just be like, look, it. Let's lay off the shiplap a little bit and go with oak. So, yeah, that could be a new career. You don't know.
Never know what's in the future. I'll write a song about it, and then it'll become true for you. How about that?
I need them as celebrity friends. Like, we have celebrity friends, but I would like to add them to my list.
Yeah, well, you had one particular celebrity friend that I would love to meet, because I was her big fan back from Cagney and Lacey, Sharon Gless. When you told me you were working with her, wow. And then, you know, you have pictures to back it up. So it's like...
Yeah. I like you, was a huge Cagney and Lacey fan, like ridiculous Cagney and Lacey fan. I was such a Cagney and Lacey fan that when I was, I think 14 or 15, my aunt ordered me a birthday sheet cake that they decorated at the bakery like a television set, and they had the blue Cagney and Lacey writing on it. So it looked like a Cagney and Lacey cake.
I think that was one of the only shows that came back because the fans demanded it was canceled.
Yeah, like back then, it was extremely unusual. Like now, because of Netflix and stuff, it's a little bit more, like you'd get a campaign going, then like Lucifer and One Day at a Time, they'll pick it up. But back then, it was literally writing to networks, handwriting, licking the stamp, taking it to the post office. Like, it was powerful. So yeah, it was huge. And so I was such a fan forever. And then I don't really remember. Oh, I know. Donna and I went on a sweet cruise, and there was like 1,200 lesbians on a boat at sea in the middle of a hurricane. So I'm not saying that it was a great cruise, but it was a cruise full of lesbians. But on the last day, you know, when you're on a cruise, you see the same people all the time, you know. But on the last day, I happened to look over at this one of the volunteers that were like helping out with the, you know, with everything. And I had noticed her a couple of times. And on the last day, I looked over and she had on a shirt that said, "I'd rather be watching Cagney and Lacey." So I immediately went over there. I was like, oh, that's my people. We got to talking, and I said I was from Florida. And she said, whereabouts? And I was like, well, Miami, Fort Lauderdale. And she said, you know, very soon, she said, I got this shirt because I work for Sharon. She's workshopping a play. And very soon, they're going to be trying it out at the Gables Theater in Miami. Would you want to come and see the show and meet Sharon? I was like, yeah. So I just, you know, figured it was just chat. And then like months and months later, I got an email from her. And sure enough, she invited me and Donna. Well, I think she set up an interview with Sharon where we called her on the show and we had a little chat with her. And she was so fun, of course. Wow. Like, we asked her all the insane questions, like how many times you get hit on and did everybody think you were a lesbian and here you weren't, you know, all that. And she just took it like a trooper. Like, she answered everything. So then after that interview that we did with her, Deb got us, this Deb that I mentioned from the Sweet Cruise, got us tickets to go see the play. So when it was over, we got to meet her, and she gave us copies, signed copies of a DVD of Hannah Free, which she did for Wendy Jo Carlson, who we knew that was on the show. It was all this like weird link up that, you know, like, wow, we've same circles, like how weird, same circles. So yeah. At that point, she had said to me, I'm really glad that you came to see the show. And I said, you know, I would come and see it again, but I'm moving to London in a month. And she was like, that's insane. I'm trying to get this show to the West End. And I didn't know what the West End was, Jay. I did not know that it was like Broadway in London. So I just said, look, I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't know what the West End is, but I'm gonna help you. Like, if you get it there, I'll help you get there. So again, months and months later, after I had just got here and I got a call from Deb and said, we landed a block of time at the Riverside Studios if you want to come see the show again and bring your friends. And I was like, oh my God. So we got tickets. We got to go see that. We got to hang out with her. She got, you know, everybody got to meet her. And then from there, Deb got a call that she had to be back in California. Her dad was ill or something. And she asked me if I would work for Sharon for a little bit until she got everything squared away back in the States. So I actually got to work with her, which was amazing and so fun. She is everything you want her to be.
Yeah, and so many times it doesn't happen. You meet someone and they're like, God, I wish I didn't know that was who you really are, because I love you, or I love the show you're on. But
no, we had a blast. We had an absolute blast. Like, you know, her her PA, Deb, was very regimented and organized and, you know, like just everything was a certain way. And as Deb was driving off in the taxi to the airport and I was standing there with Sharon, she just looked at me and she was like, all right, we're going to have some fun. It's like, okay. So it was like, you know, Deb was the type that would like want to walk places and stuff. And Sharon was like, you know, no walking, flicks a cigarette. Here's the number for the car service, we're taking cars wherever we need to go, you know, that kind of thing. And we just, I mean, like we laughed so much, and she had such good advice, you know, like about anything. You know, there were people in my circle that she knew that she warned me about. And then like months later, all this stuff came down and I was like,
wow.
Yeah. And then we got to meet Barney, got to meet her husband, Barney. Oh, Rosenzweig.
Barney. Okay.
Yeah. He was the producer of Cagney and Lacey.
Did she smokes?
Yeah. Yeah. She did. I don't think she does anymore, but she did then. She was, yeah. Like I had to whisk her away. Don't let anybody stop us. Get me to the back patio where I can smoke, you know, like right before she had to go on, because she was on stage in this play for 90 minutes without a break.
Wow. Yeah. That's a lot.
Right. So it was, you know, so, you know, I did not feel bad. Like I could sympathize. I would be like, yeah, that I go have your cigarette. You're good. You know? But she was, she's quirky and funny and, you know, and so many celebrities over here, you know, that idolize her and everything. Right. So at one of the performances, I noticed these two women walk by and I thought, well, they don't really look like everybody else here in this little, it was a little theater because they were trying to get it to a bigger theater in the West End. So this was kind of like, you know, the starting point for it. Sorry, that's my cat sniffling. Oh, he's okay. So Sharon's agent came to me and said, look, Dawn and Jennifer are at the show tonight. So after Sharon comes off stage and she changes, don't let her leave because I'm going to bring them in to surprise her. And I was just like, oh yeah, cool. Like I just thought it was friends of hers, like maybe from LA or something. So I didn't really think much of it, but this agent just kept pounding it. Like, you know, every couple of minutes, you know, 20 minutes would go by and she's like, don't forget about Dawn and Sharon. Don't forget about Dawn and Jennifer. And I was like, oh, okay. So Dawn and Jennifer come and I get it. So after the show as scheduled, I kept her there. She was chatting away in the dressing room and the agent knocks on the door and said, I found these two hanging around your dressing room door, and in walk Dawn French and Jennifer Saunders, who are huge over here. Like huge. Jennifer Saunders from Ab Fab, Dawn French from Vicar Dibley. they're just comic gold whenever, I mean, they had their own show and everything. And it still didn't dawn on me. I'd only been here like 8 or 9 months, maybe 10 months. And I knew who they were, you know, but when they're in your presence, it's like, you just don't make that connection. And I didn't, you know, and they were talking and hugging and jumping up and down and, you know, and I'm looking and I'm like, I had that moment, like finally when it dawned on me who they were. And then I was like, and they, you know, so Sharon was like, can you book us a table? Can you book us a car? And I was like, yeah, yeah. And I think I was telling you before, she's so good with fans, Sharon, that every night she would sign every single autograph of every single person that was waiting to meet her or talk to her. Yeah. So after that, she, you know, I got their cars and everything and they were on their way. And Don French turned and said, aren't you coming? And I was like, no, no, you guys go have a good time. I'll make sure the car's there for you when you're ready to leave.
Oh my God.
And I just froze. Like, I froze. I missed the biggest opportunity ever. I called Gemma and I was like, dude, I just met Don French and Jennifer Saunders and they asked me to go to dinner and I said no. And she was like, oh my God, I could punch you in the face. She was like, if you would have called me, I would have come down there in my pajamas to go to dinner with them. Like, honestly. And I'm like, I didn't know. Like, I just didn't hit me who they were. So I felt like such an idiot. But yeah, it didn't. Now I wouldn't turn it down because I've seen Don French in a fantastic show called 30 Million Minutes. And anybody that's got Netflix, if you can find it on Netflix, it's an amazing, amazing show. Well, so yeah, yeah. My brushes, I tweeted about it. Like I'm off to see like my soon to be best friend, Don French. So I want to be friends. I want to be friends with Don and Jennifer.
Turn him down for dinner the first time, and now he's going to really want to go to dinner with you because that's what happened.
Oh yeah, it was that. It was really bad, really, really bad.
Like when you meet someone and they live up to what you would hope them to be or what you aspire they are. You know, I mean.
Yeah, exactly. Like it was such a relief that Sharon was so nice, and then from that point, I was writing for She Magazine, and she was the Grand Marshal at Miami Gay and Lesbian Pride. So I had to interview her for She Magazine. And the editors and everybody set everything up. And then they just email you and they tell you, you know, this is the time. And, you know, this is the phone call. This is the time for, you know, so be ready. So I was sitting there at my computer and I had all my questions ready and everything. And I knew it was Sharon. So I knew exactly what to ask and whatnot. But my phone rang and I picked it up. And I said, hello. And she goes, can't you stay away? I was like, after all these years, you knew it was me? And she was like, of course I knew it was you. And I was like, oh my God, I thought for sure you would have forgotten. And then just said, oh, I got an interview with somebody named Denise at She Magazine. She was like, are you kidding me? And she like remembered Gemma. She asked about Gemma. Wow. I mean, yeah, like we had a really good time. Like we went on a shopping spree at Costco with Sharon that was incredible.
Wow. So,
did don't forget her
in Costco?
Did
people recognize her in Costco?
No. She had like no makeup on, her big glasses, long coat, you know, she kind of made sure that nobody would. And she had two massive carts, which was hysterical. Like one cart wasn't enough. So yeah, she was so fun. So fun. Like maybe I'll reach out for her. Like I know she's a gin drinker, you know, so I don't know if the whiskey part of the show would appeal to her, but we should see if we can rank her on.
That would be awesome. See,
yeah,
people,
just for your expression alone, I'll try.
Yeah. Well, I loved her as Debbie on Queer as Folk, and but she said Christine Cagney, that was her name on Cagney and Lacey, right? As Christine Cagney, she had two quotes that I always like loved, like I wanted to try and fit into a song somewhere down the road. This one was just funny. They were getting lunch at a deli, and Tyne Daly was like, oh, you know, you can't get that. It's not good for you. That corned beef has fat on it. And she was like, this stuff isn't good. You got to have a little fat on this to be tasty. And it's like so true. Everybody orders the lean corned beef, but you really want that fat, right, to taste good. And And that was like, you know, the way her character was. Like, she just told it like it was.
Put it right and out there.
The other thing that she said was, life, you only go around once in life, but if you do it right, once is enough. And I thought, that's like, that's great. I got to use that somewhere down the road. And if I ever get to meet her, maybe I'll write a song about it. But that's great.
That would be fantastic. They were Sharon and Tyne were just on a morning show here yesterday on a Zoom like this. It's a show called Loose Women, which is a lot like The View, you know, into women. But because of this second wave, you know, like thing, they're still doing the shows from their computers. So it was like the four hosts over there and then Sharon and Tyne, and it was very confusing and very muddled, and everybody was stepping on everyone, kind of like we do, but but it was so good to see her face again. Like, I honestly, anytime to see her, it's just like being in the presence of royalty, like, but down to earth, you know, good royalty, comfortable, casual royalty.
Awesome. That's a lifetime experience.
Fantastic. Well, I don't have Sharon Gless coming on next week, but I do have Lucy and Andy Burton from the British group called Eek over here. And I met them, I'm not sure if it was the first Elfest that I did or the second or the third or I did so many of this annual summer arts and music festival, and they were always there. I just don't remember a time when they weren't there. But I did even work with them as they were musical directors thing. And there's such good bands over here. There's like Heads, Hearts, and Grey Matter, and Eek, and Faye Bagley, and Beth Pryor, and like I said, Nicki Mitchell. And I mean, there's good people. And, you know, over the years, you just build up a relationship. And you may go the whole year without really talking to anybody, maybe a comment on Facebook here or a like over there. But then that July would roll around and you'd see everybody and it would just all come flooding back. And it was just like, you never left, you know? So they're such good people. And I'm glad that I maintain those relationships because they're just people that I want to share with everyone.
Oh, that's great. I'm looking forward to meeting them through Zoom, if only through Zoom at this point. you talked about me coming there and doing some shows in pubs and then COVID hit, but I had wanted to do that. I think we talked about that when you guys came to my place, and I thought like beginning of the year we'll start planning that, and that didn't happen. But I've heard them on Facebook and YouTube, and I love their harmonies. I love their original songs, and so I'm looking forward to meeting them. They're celebrities, me here.
Yeah. I think you guys will have so much in common. It'll be like, you get along like a house on fire. It'd be fantastic. And they're super fun. And I always have a good time. In fact, Lucy and I were texting a little bit this morning because we're both very into Schitt's Creek.
Oh, yeah.
So we were just like texting each other the one-liners and everything. And I have a special relationship with anybody that loves that show as much as I do, because it's kind of like with friends where you can use quotes to communicate.
Right. I've gotten into that show. I have to like catch up like I do with everything else. I start watching it, if not right after it's over, 20 years later. So
well,
all the queerest folks, you know.
Yeah.
I used to watch it on and off, but I didn't have Showtime when that was on, so I should catch up with I should watch Schitt's Creek because everyone talks about it. So
yeah, honestly, it's hard to find a comedy that's got heart and soul and it's progressive and each season gets better and better, whereas there's no lull. You know, like sometimes you love a show so much and then, you know, I don't know whether it's me or the show, but you know, like a season will go by and you'll be like, that wasn't as good as last season, you know, like, but with this, it was just progressively better and sharper. And every character just grew with each new season. And it was just something that you so wanted to see. And it, even though we watched it like right straight through to the end, I was so glad that there is a documentary on Netflix of the last season, that it was all this behind the scenes stuff from the last season, because when it's over with, like, you feel so good, but you feel so bad because there's not going to be any more, that you just needed that last little hit. So that little documentary was just like,
with Frank, Grace and Frankie, and I like both watch it, and we do the quotes, and Lily Tomlin is so funny in that.
That is so good, isn't it?
I bet she comes up with a lot of that stuff, you know, probably says something in the script and then she goes and does something and takes it to another level of funny. But the last season, I was a little disappointed in. So they're having their final season the next, I think they filmed it already. So next time, you know, whenever the next season comes out, that will be the final season.
Yeah. And sometimes I don't know that. Like, I'm going to watch it and not know that it's the last one, but.
Oh, beginning when you didn't know, but I mean, it's, I don't know. Do you watch that show? Because that's really funny.
Oh, got it.
That's funny. People don't think it's going to be funny because they're older women and whatever, but it's just like the Golden Girls. It's timeless. It's just
My hope is that the last season focuses more on them and not the men in their lives. And I don't mean Saul. I don't mean the ex-husband. I mean like their boyfriends and stuff. Yeah. Like just
didn't really like the fifth season too much because Grace was married to Nick and they weren't together. Grace and Frankie weren't living together. And it wasn't you started out watching. So. But it ends up that they are back together then.
Yeah, it does. It sets up a nice final season. So hopefully, because, and I love the kids. I love every one of the kids, especially Grace's daughters. They kill me.
Brianna. I love Brianna. I wish I was, Kurt as she is. She says what she means and she doesn't care. She just, when they refer to
her. Stone. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I do. I love her. Well, honestly, this is a blast, and I'm glad that we dropped the hint that we have guests next week. That's pretty cool. So I'm hoping that we can, let's go over our social media stuff, because that's important.
Yeah.
So
I'm the worst at that.
All right. So you can find us on Facebook at The Whiskey Rock Lounge. So you'd be like facebook.com/ the whole thing, The Whiskey Rock Lounge. And that's kind of our official Facebook page, where you will find the uploaded videos and the links to podcasts every Sunday. And then you can also go to our Instagram, which is instagram.com/ Whiskey Rock Lounge. No the there. And then Twitter, altogether different. It is at whiskey_pod. And we don't have a lot of Twitter followers, so if people will please get on there and give us a follow and a like, I would much appreciate it, because I will always update Twitter, because I'm a little bit of a Twitter maniac. So, and I know that you're not into the Twitter, so I'm okay with that responsibility. You don't like the Twitter.
I'm not as cool as people think I am, which I don't even know if they think I'm cool. I'm very uncool. So when I was learning, when Twitter was new, I told my niece, hey, and you were like really great at it. I was on the show that time. That's one of the,
trying to give you lessons. Yeah.
And I'm like, I need to learn the Twitter because I need to be like cool. And she goes, well, first of all, it's not the Twitter. That's uncool to begin with. It's just Twitter. It's not the Facebook. It's not the Twitter. Okay.
That was your first lesson from me, and then that was it. I dropped off and let Joni take over. Like, let me just get this squared away. Honestly, well, once again, we have laughed, we have drank whiskey, and we've had a fun little chat.
I looked forward to this. This was the bright spot in my day, because the rest of the day is going to be crazy from here out.
I know. I want to wish you the best of luck, and I can't wait to reconvene next week and hear all about it, since I'm stuck in England and you're over there in Florida.
I'm stuck in Boca.
Right. So remember to tell your friends about this. Have them follow us, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, everywhere. And we will always upload a show on Sundays, whether it's good, bad, or ugly. We'll get it out there on Sundays, right?
And I think we have some questions for next week. I know some people that wanted to, they didn't get them in time. They had, you know, I've been having people texting me about tickets for the show, for the virtual tickets. So I've been like dealing with that for not this show, for the arts show. So I had some emails about people like, how do we get to send questions into the Whiskey Rock Lounge? Because I had someone want to play at the lounge. So I don't know if he knows.
I do believe I'm pretty sure we have an email address. Do we have an email address to the Whiskey Rock? Let me just, the Whiskey Rock Lounge at gmail.com.
Yeah, I told him that, and I told him private message us also on Facebook. So next week, I think we're going to have some questions.
We do. We do have an email account. I just saw no mail in there, but we do have if people want to email us at the Whiskey Rock Lounge at gmail.com, I will be sure to check email before we start another show. I totally forgot about that. All right, terrific. Well, it was lovely seeing you. Have a fantastic show and a great week, and we'll catch up again soon.
Thank you. You too.
Bye, everybody.